Hey guys, it's your pal Chucky here. Bet you didn't expect to hear from me, but it just so happens. I'm a fan of This Blonde Can Talk, and I couldn't pass up the opportunity to introduce the show. Usually Melanie does it herself, but that blonde talks too much. This is episode 85, and I hope you're really excited, because this week she's joined by the buddies Brian and Dave, and like me, they'll be your friends till the end. I'm probably the last guy who should be introducing a podcast discussing a couple of children's books, but here we are. I'm just going to throw it to the interview now. I've already heard it, and it's a good one. Melanie is still your host, and she still spells her name with two L's because the spelling of your name doesn't change from one week to the next. Or maybe she's just weird. Okay, enough from me. Enjoy the show.
Okay, so I've been kind of teasing people on the podcast. I was going to have the buddies on for like, I think, three weeks now. And I finally have you guys here. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves, Dave, you can go first, and then Brian.
Okay. My name is Dave. I'm an elementary school teacher in Nibinamik First Nations in Ontario, which is a remote community. I teach grade 5-6. And I am also an author with the Buddies, creating Jungle Buddies. So I'm here today with Brian.
Hey, guys, I'm Brian. I am a father of two young boys, a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old. And I have another job, but it's not really relevant to what we're going to talk about today. So it's really boring.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know, so who are listening to this and wondering why I have you guys on. So Brian, I met a few years back. This is just for context. And we have like some shared passions, like film and football and stuff like that. So that's how we connected. And this is my first time meeting Dave, but I've been, you know, following their journey with the book since pretty much the beginning. And I've been telling Brian since the beginning how important I think the book is. So that's why they're here. So there's that. So first question I have, first of all, everybody knows this. I do not have structured questions. I don't do that. I'm not Barbara Walters. I just like to talk to people. But my first question is, like, what was the impetus behind the book? Like, what made you want to write a book that was so, it's very closely linked to mental health, children's mental health? Who wants to answer?
Yes. So, I'm having two boys. I've read, you know, hundreds and hundreds of stories to them for years and years. And I found that they were very simple stories. And that's great. They're okay. They're fun. They're easy to read. But I wanted to kind of write a book that had some kind of a learning aspect to it. And so that's when Dave and I started talking, and he suggested we start writing a series of books on social and emotional learning, which is something that is huge in schools right now. So that's kind of how the idea for the Buddies came about. We wanted to write a series of kids' books that had underlying lessons. We don't want to jam it right in their face, but we want to have some kind of a learning aspect to our stories where kids can still have fun reading the stories, but then they learn something as well.
Yeah. And with me, I'm a teacher up here in the North, and I see a lot of my students struggle through different emotions and different kind of situations. And I really wanted to work with Brian to create these books. I know our first book had to do with, you know, how to handle nerves and anxiety. And this new book, Jungle Buddies, The Surprise Party, really focuses on inclusion. It's about Milo the monkey, one of the Jungle Buddies, who, he is not invited to a big party happening in the jungle, and all of his friends are invited. And his friends, the Jungle Buddies, kind of notice that he's kind of feeling down, he's feeling sad, he's kind of feeling left out. And so they really want to kind of rally around him and really want to do something special for him to show that he's special as well, and that he means something to them. And so the book's all about inclusion and including others, and how to deal with those emotions when you're feeling sad and kind of isolated.
This book is kind of based on your son, Brian. Something that happened to your son.
The second book, yes. So yeah. This was actually a story based on what happened to him in real life. It was last summer. I remember him coming home from school one day, and he was sad. And I asked him what was wrong. And all his friends his group of friends, they had all been invited to a birthday party except for him. And at the time, I had no idea what to say to him. I didn't know how to, kind of raise his spirits and make him realize that, you know, we love them and it's okay. And I'm sure not everybody can be invited. So I brought the idea to Dave, and we decided it would be a great idea for a second book. So then we did a lot of research into the topic and came up with the surprise party. So, basically the moral of the story is you can't be invited to everything, but it doesn't mean you aren't loved and cared for.
Yeah.
So it really is kind of special to me, just because, it happened to me and I had no idea how to talk to my son about it. So.
And I feel too that, all of us were children at one point, and I think at one point in our lives, we've all felt kind of excluded from something, whether it be, an event that's happening with kids or a birthday or being part of a specific group or a sports
Right.
team or getting chosen for something. So we really kind of wanted to teach kids that it's okay if you're not included all the time, because it could really affect their emotions and how they relate to others, and if they're confident in themselves and say, oh, that's okay, I'll be invited to other things, and there'll be other events coming up and stuff that I might go to, so kind of makes them less sad and kind of think about it that way.
I think the cool part about this story is you see it kind of from both sides. You see it from the perspective of a child who's not invited to a party, but then you also see it from the point of view of their friends who are empathetic towards this child and want to make them feel included and raise their spirits and make them realize, you are still loved and cared about. So it kind of, touches on social relationships and social awareness as well as self-awareness. So I think
Yeah.
it covers a few different pillars of social emotional learning.
And also just having a book out there where kids have read it and they realize if there's a book written and there's a character in this book that's dealing with something that they've gone through or might deal with in the future, that they realize that they're not alone, that this happens to a lot of people or a lot of kids, and kind of helps them throughout that situation.
I think it's definitely the whole thing is like of the first book, the second book, both of them are super needed because anxiety as an adult, I don't know how to deal with it sometimes. So like I'm reading the
Same.
book and I'm like, oh, so this is, this is practical for a kid. And I wish there was something like that when I, when I was growing up, because you don't always know, like you never know what to do when you're a kid. You know, go cry to your parents.
Exactly.
So what gave you guys the idea to do the first book, like to tackle anxiety, like why that specific topic?
Well, I know myself, I deal with as an adult anxiety and social anxiety and people judging me and things like that. So I know that a lot of kids feel that way, especially growing up and taking part in things and feeling embarrassed or feeling like they can't do something. So, that was the first, dealing with nerves, dealing with anxiety was something that we wanted to touch with in our first book, because it meant a lot to me, as well as when I'm teaching, I see a lot of kids, saying, oh, I can't do that, or, oh, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, I don't want to even try. So the key message in the first book is basically like, even if you're feeling nervous, even if you're feeling anxious, to try your best, do your best, that's all that matters. And all of our books that, I mean, we've only have two so far, but really focus on friendship and kind of rallying around your friends and being there as a good friend. So that will always be an underlying theme with the Jungle Buddies, is friendship and being there for one another. But each book will kind of have, into it. So I was super excited about our first book. I know that with this book, it's a year since we launched our first one, and we spent a whole year. It takes a long process creating a book because we work with our illustrator, Chris Rose, who's done a phenomenal job with the illustrations. And we're just excited for people to get it in their hands and kind of show their kids and read it to them and have the kids read it to the parents as well.
I know Brian's kid can like read it without even seeing the book.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my
That
youngest
tells me.
Jackson, he
Yeah.
the first book, he would ask me to read it to him pretty much nightly. And he can't read. He's only three, but it got to the point where he had the book memorized and we would go through it and he would be able to recite the book to me verbatim, word for word. And it was to the point where if you forgot something or wanted to skip by something, he wouldn't let you. He would make you stop. He would make you read every single word. There's a part in the first book where we kind of teach a little bit of a breathing technique where you take deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth. It's a calming technique. And when we get to that part of the book, he makes sure we do it every time. He won't let us go past until we actually do the breathing exercises. So it's pretty fun. I mean, it's a great story for him, but it also creates bonding time for him and I. So it's a lot of fun to read to him.
I think that's interesting about the breathing techniques because I went to acting classes, but then I went to a new acting class. And before we did the class, the teacher was like, everybody get on the floor and like to do like, breathing techniques. And I'm on the floor and I'm thinking, what the hell? I had never done that in another acting class. So I was on the floor and people were like, shh. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, and I wasn't doing it, but eventually I realized that the people who were doing it were benefiting from it because they were getting into the scenes and they were like centered, and I would be getting into my scenes and I'd be like, yeah, it was too much.
I always wish I
Okay.
took acting classes. I always wanted to be an actor.
Why didn't you do it?
Why didn't
Why
I do it?
didn't you? Yeah. Like, what scared you from
Oh,
doing
I
it?
don't know. It's just, I think my parents drilled in me, oh, you got to go to school, be a teacher, do this, do that. If I could go back in time, I would have gotten involved more in drama and acting and that sort of thing.
My
But
dad wanted me to go to
could have
college
been.
like so much, and I applied to Harvard partially because I seen Legally Blonde too many times, partially because it would have allowed me to go to lots of Patriots games. And I went for a day and then I was like, I can't do this. Like, you're not going to be proud of me no matter what I do, and I love acting, so I'm just going to do that. And so that's what I do.
I wanted to go into acting just so I can sign stuff for Brian. Brian's a nice guy. Brian and I will be at an event doing a book signing or selling stuff, and I'll have like a panic attack and start sweating. And Brian's like, "What are you doing? Why do you?" But Brian at least calms me down a bit.
I don't like sweat and stuff. It's just, I just don't, I get
Yeah, I do.
uncomfortable. I feel like I shouldn't be myself. And then maybe that's a book that you should write. I feel like I should shrink myself to fit somebody else's, what they want me to be. And I just can't. That's just not who I am. And
No, I
I
get
think
you.
Brian, I think, has known me long enough to know that like the way that I present myself, it's not to get attention from anybody. It's just, this is just who I am. Pretty simple. And that's maybe a book topic that
Yeah,
you should.
that's a good topic for sure. Good theme for sure.
Maybe there's so many themes. Like, even I told Brian you should write a book about how to teach kids to deal with grief because that is really hard.
100% and dealing with that emotion of dealing with grief or somebody passing away or something like that, right? Could
Yeah.
have one of the characters' parents, family members, or something like that pass away, and then the buddy's helping them through that.
It happened to me.
Yeah,
What
there's a
are
lot
the
of. I was just going to say that there's a lot of topics that,
Right.
if you think of it happening to a child, I'm trying to think from the perspective of a parent where I'm trying to think of something that would happen to my child. I would have not necessarily no idea, but I would have very little idea of how to talk to them about the topic. And it would be something that would make me want to buy a book about it or look up research about it. And grief is definitely one of them. Another one that we had thought of was, children when they have nightmares. Like, I mean, what can you say to them? Oh, it's okay. You don't have to worry, but if they read it in a storybook and see that their characters go through the same thing and this is how they deal with it, maybe it'll be more comforting to them. Where, by them reading it in kind of a safe environment, it's more comforting to them.
Right. And if you're reading it to them, that's even more comforting because they're like, they feel safe with you. Like, for me
Absolutely.
personally, the reason that I always pitch grief or mention grief is because when I was 10, my grandfather passed away, and then like right in front of me, and we were very close. And my mom didn't know how to like even tell me that he was dead. Like, I didn't, he went on life support,
Right.
and then, we thought maybe he would come back. And then when he died, my mom was like, ask my dad, can you tell her? Because I just can't do it. I don't know how. And well, he didn't either. So nobody told me. And when my mom came in the house with all his stuff, I was like, oh, Pierre's dead. And I just started laughing, but it wasn't funny. I was just, you don't know what you're
Not
feeling.
how to deal
And
with that emotion. Exactly.
yeah. And then my mom sent me to grief counseling, and that wasn't any better because it was at CHEO, the famous hospital in Ottawa. And like,
Yeah.
The teachers didn't know how to talk to, 10, 11, 12-year-olds about grief either. And then what ends up happening is you go, you're 22 and you're like, oh, I'm still grieving and I still don't know how to deal with it. So
Yeah, and you actually mentioned an important thing about the teachers not being able to, know how to teach these emotions or deal with, students going through this stuff. And that's why, we want to get these books out, and we've had a couple schools, pick up our book and incorporate it in their class. We have tons of lesson plans on our website, as well as coloring pages and puzzles and learning tools for teachers to use in relation to our books, so that they can teach these. Because social emotional learning is something new in schools in the past, say, 5 years. So teachers are really trying to, instead of just saying, "Oh, here's I'm teaching you math, I'm teaching you science, I'm teaching you history," they really have to incorporate teaching about emotions and social emotional skills. So that's why we're trying to create these books that could help teachers, social workers, parents, in general.
I think the books are, I read them both last night or this morning. I think they're both really great. And I think that the subject matter is super important. Do you guys want to tell me about the journal a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I could tell you a little bit about the journal. So the idea behind the journal was that kids can read about, social emotional learning with our storybooks, but with the journal, they have the opportunity to then write about their emotions. So journaling, not only for kids, but for adults, is one of the most important things that people can do to kind of demonstrate social emotional awareness, and specifically self-awareness, which is one of the pillars of social emotional learning. So the idea is that if you're self-aware of what might be causing certain emotions, hopefully it will lead to self-management, which is, being able to better deal with those emotions. So for example, if you write about, feeling sad for a certain reason, and it's something that is consistently happening, you might be able to see something that might trigger your sadness, for example, or happiness or anger or whatever you're feeling. It's almost like having a way to conduct firsthand research in a safe and confidential environment. It's for you to figure out what you're feeling, why you might be feeling that way, and then trying to figure out, hopefully, how you can manage those emotions. So we wanted to create a journal that's specifically for kids. And in our journal, we have the Jungle Buddies characters, and they each showing a different emotion, and you circle how you're feeling that day. So there's, are you feeling sad? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling angry? I'd have to look what the other ones
Nervous
are. Nervous. Are you feeling nervous?
and tired.
And then exactly tired. And then you would write about, I feel this way because, and we included like perforated lines so kids can practice their writing as well. And then we put in some different thought prompting questions, such as, what is one thing I did that was kind today? And the idea behind this was that, maybe they won't have anything that they did that day, but they'll have that on their mind for the next day. Like, oh, I need to do something kind today so I can write about it in my journal tonight. And then we ask, what are three things that, like, what are the best three things you enjoyed about your day? And so it encourages discussion between parents if they want to involve them. We put all kinds of different questions in there, so it really is a useful tool. We launched that actually on January of last year on Bell Let's Talk Day, to coincide with Bell Let's Talk. And what we did was, all the proceeds from the sale of the journal on that day, we donated to Kids Help Phone to hopefully give back to the community. So, for anyone listening who doesn't know what Kids Help Phone is, it's a helpline for young people, and it provides them with a safe and confidential environment to discuss how they're feeling, their emotions, and to get, resources and help. So we thought that was very important to be able to give back, especially on Bell Let's Talk Day. So.
Yeah, it is important as someone who, like, I've lost, excuse me, friends to suicide too. And I've attempted suicide myself because I couldn't deal with, and I was 21 when I did this, because I couldn't deal with my own emotions. And I was like, I'm better off, like, just to not be here. Now, I don't feel that way now. I feel like once you figure out that you're better off to be here because you're going to miss your life by killing yourself. But children don't understand that. And so the journal, I think, is such a beautiful, like, this whole thing is just so, like, beautiful, and it makes me emotional, really, because, like, I've told Brian this already, like, I admire Brian so much as a father because I didn't have that. And it's like,
No.
every kid deserves to have a dad who gives a shit, and excuse my
Yeah.
language.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
every kid also deserves to have, like, an educator who sees them for what they are. And like I had a math teacher, and I was so bad at math, and I would be like, every day, I can't do this, like what you were saying. And I remember he pulled up a chair one day, and he was like, yes, you can do it. It's just harder for you than it is for
Yeah.
someone else. But then I'd go into English class, and another kid would be going, I can't do it. And I'd be going, well, what's wrong with him? Is he stupid? But it was because that was his challenge, and our challenges were different. So I think a strong parent and a strong teacher is a very important thing. And you guys are, like, both of those things, and you're writing these amazing books. So, like, first of all, I don't have any kids, but thank you for doing that for all the kids out there who need
That's
it.
really nice of you to say. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I think too, in terms of like, if you think about when we were kids and we didn't really read too much about emotions, we didn't really talk too much about emotions growing up. It was going to school and just getting school done and doing the subjects and doing well in them. And I think there's su such an issue with mental health nowadays because growing up, you haven't been taught these tools to learn or how to deal with your emotions. I knew that I dealt with certain emotions as I got older that I had no idea how to deal with. And you know, your mind kind of spirals. But if you start young, and we're writing these books for 3 to 7, 4 to 8 year olds, where they start thinking about their emotions and how to handle their emotions, that just makes them stronger mentally as they grow up, where they don't have negative thought, overwhelmingly negative thoughts in their mind. Or if they do think negatively, or they feel a certain type of way, that they know how to handle that situation. I mean, it took myself like years and years. I'm still trying to man, deal with certain emotions that arise, and sometimes that inspires a book, or sometimes that, inspires Brian and I to talk about certain themes or subjects. But I think starting at a young age with journaling, with teaching kids, with our books and, other books out there in terms of handling emotions and learning those skills is very beneficial for kids as they grow older and having those tools.
As they
Yeah,
become
absolutely. I think,
adults.
as Dave said, it's important to integrate those lessons early into their childhood. And not only at school, because you're only there for, 8 hours of your day. If you go home and your home life is completely different than your school life, kids are more likely gonna pull from their home life than their school life just because it's their parents, they're more comfortable with them. So I think it's equally as important for parents to educate their kids in different social emotional learning lessons as well. And that's why, these stories are great for bedtime, where parents can read it to their kids. So I know Dave, you're going through a lot in your community right now,
Yeah.
with mental health,
Yes.
and it's like a huge, huge thing. And suicide has been brought up a few times in this discussion, and obviously that's something that nobody wants to see anybody go through.
Yeah.
And as Dave said, when we were growing up, mental health wasn't as I want to say aware or as big as it is today, where people are able to express themselves more openly, I would say, especially, as somebody who played as a male who played sports, it was almost taboo to talk about your emotions
Or to
because you were it was
cry.
a sign of weakness
Yeah.
to cry. Exactly. It was a sign of weakness. Whereas now, I'm encouraging my boys that if they're feeling a certain way, tell me about it, because we can handle it and deal with it before it bottles up to something bigger. So.
Yeah.
My first exposure to, like, knowing how important mental health was like after my grandpa died, and then 4 months later, my grandma died. And then my parents got divorced, and my mom had a mental breakdown. Like, she was crazy, for lack of a better word. And I was only 10, and I didn't know why. It's like, how do you deal with that? You don't understand. What the hell?
Right.
Okay. You don't know, like, what's going on. Like, you don't know how to process that. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, like, these types of things would have helped me in that situation to, like, understand, okay, she's going through something that
Right.
I don't understand. But if I could understand it, then I could have been more empathetic instead of, you know, telling her she was annoying and things like that, because I was a kid and I didn't know better. You know what I mean? Like,
For sure.
I mean, for me, acting is a way to like get out my emotions, because sometimes you're playing happy things and sometimes you're screaming at someone. And
Yeah.
when you're angry and you're screaming at someone, you get your like anger out. I was doing a class once and we were doing a scene from The Social Network, but I had done this scene so many times that I was pissed. And then the line is like, I have to go study. And then he says, you don't have to study. And then I say, how do you know I don't have to study? And he says, because you go to BU. And by the 10th time that I did it, I slapped the guy, and the teacher was like, okay, that's enough. And he's like, no, it's okay, I like this. And she was like, no, we're not hitting each other. But I had gotten to a point where I was sick of the scene, but also where it was making me think of like people who are like underestimating you, basically. But oh, you go to BU, so we don't need to study. And people, kids get underestimated all the time. I'm sure you see that in school. They
For
underestimate
sure.
themselves. We
Yes,
keep going off
100%.
topic, which I love about this because it's just like a friendly chat.
Right?
Do you find as an actress having to do multiple takes, you have to bottle up your emotions somehow because, you start to feel a certain way, but you have to obviously be professional?
Yes, but then it'll get taken out on something else, like afterwards. And sometimes when you're doing a scene, like you're fighting with someone, you know, you really like that person. Like your scene partner is like somebody that you really have good friendship and chemistry with. And then you have to scream at them. And then when it's done, you just hug it out. And it's kind of nice because you're getting out this sort of anger that you have inside you. And then you have this like emotional release where it's like endorphins. And it feels good. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's very cathartic to do acting. So, which is why I wish I
Maybe I'll
could
get
do more
into it.
of it. Pardon me? Maybe you'll
So
get
maybe
into
I'll get
it.
into it one day.
You know, it's really never ever too late to do it. They
No, I think
say
it was
like,
like Denzel Washington started when he was like, what, 50? No.
I don't know. A
Somebody,
lot of
who
them
was that?
start late. Morgan Freeman
Morgan
started
Freeman,
very
maybe.
late. Bryan
Yeah.
Cranston started, he was in his 20s.
30s, 20s, yeah.
And I remember, like, I don't even know how I ended up in that place in the first place, because I've doubt, you know, I, this is back to emotional stuff. I doubt myself a lot. So when I ended up on like a penthouse rooftop in New York City with Bryan, I was like, I have no fucking business being here. And I was shaking. And then when that
Yeah.
was the first time I met him, and when I was in front of him, I stopped shaking because I immediately felt
Brian
all this attention.
Cranston, not me.
Yes,
Brian.
exactly.
I figured that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
And
went
I
back and forth in my
immediately,
head with two average Brian.
but I
I'm like,
immediately
Brian
felt
on
like I'm
Penthouse
supposed to
rooftop?
be here. I'm supposed to be here. That's how I felt. And then we started to talk. And he was like, I worked for 30 fucking years before anybody knew my name. And I'm like, are you like, what? Like, and he's like, one time a girl asked me for an autograph, and she didn't know who I was, so I wrote on it, "Love Tom Cruise." And I was just like, "Oh wow!" Like, but no, I mean, acting is—it's all emotions. You have to have
Exactly.
them all readily available all the time. And I'm like a super emotional person because I have, you know, grief that has never—I will never deal with properly because I don't know
Yeah.
how.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the book. It
Okay.
just came
Sounds
out
good.
like yesterday, right?
Came
Just
out
came
on
out.
Saturday. Came out, yeah, December 7th. And
Okay.
the neat thing about our books too is that when we first came up with the idea, we wanted to kind of make it like a community effort, people's opinions when we were designing this book. So even, I know that Brian's kids like, jungle animals, and we kind of put it out there, kind of finding out which animals would be best suited for the book, which themes we wanted to do. So super happy that we stuck with the anxiety and nerves of the first one in inclusion. And for this book, but we launched on Saturday. We're super excited, and yeah, sorry, I like lost my train of thought halfway through.
See, that's another thing that you could write about in a book. Another, like, because it's
Right?
not, it's like, it's kind of like an almost like an ADHD thing where
Yeah,
you lose
and
your train of
embarrassing. I
thought.
like your idea about grief and
Well, grief is
all
just,
that.
for me, it's just such a big part of my life. Like my mom recently, like Brian knows how close I am with my mom. And that comes from everyone dying and then my dad leaving. So all I had was my mom. And she was so sick. Like she recently got sick. And I was talking to Brian. I was actually, you were like one of the only people that I trusted enough to talk to about that. And I'm like, my mom. And he's like, she's going to be fine. And I'm like, but like, what if she's not? And he was like, you need to like, so it's good to have somebody like a friend who has the presence of mind when you're like that, who can just, you know what I mean?
For
And
sure,
your
and that's
book,
definitely Brian.
Brian is a like he's so proud of his kids. Like he's at TIFF showing my mom
Yeah.
videos of his son, and like I'm looking at that and I'm thinking like,
So cute.
why can't more men be this way? You know, like
Yeah.
I just admire people who care about kids and who care about other people. Both of you have like amazing, just like the way you are is an amazing thing because it's very rare to meet people who care so much about other people and other people's children. And clearly you guys both do. I know Brian is at every craft show,
Yeah.
every
There are a
book
lot of
show.
them. I try to go to some of them. I mean, you can't go to them all,
Well,
or
you're
I'd
at a
probably
lot of
be
them.
divorced. I we try. I especially with Christmas coming up, it's they the books make great gifts, so it's nice to get
Yes.
out there and the thing too is because these are self-published books, we're in charge of marketing the whole thing. So it's a grind to get our books in front of people that we don't know. So that's kind of what Dave and I are going through right now. How can we get these learning and educational resources in front of people that have no idea who we are?
Yeah.
And so that's the craft sales are great because, I get to meet people that I otherwise never would have met. And, people have told me stories and a lot of people like to buy them for their grandkids or their neighbors' kids, even if they don't have their own children. So I think to be honest, I have an event this weekend. One of the things I'm going to try to do is put out a sign that says, even if you don't have kids, maybe think about donating a book to a classroom. And then, I could do maybe a classroom visit in the new year and hopefully have 25 books to be able to give one to each of the
Yeah.
children in the class. So I think maybe
I
that's
would be
something I'm
so
going to
open to
try.
that. I would be so open
Yeah.
to like to
Right.
supporting that because it's
Yeah, because some people walk by and say, "Oh, I don't have any kids, I don't have any grandkids. Like, no point in me buying a kid's book." But if it can go to a good cause, I think that would really entice people to,
Yeah.
because we feel so strongly about our books and the messages behind them that we definitely want to get them, in people's hands. And Brian's done a great job at getting us into Indigos in Ottawa and surrounding area, and trying to get us out there as much as possible. And been doing interviews and so we're just really excited about the surprise part of your second book, as well as the first book and our journal and everything we have to offer to parents, to teachers, to grandparents, to social workers. We're just really excited about it.
I think it's cool that you include grandparents because a lot of people think that grandparents should be like less involved in kids' lives. I mean, this is coming from somebody who went to daycare with a grandpa and got kicked out. But I mean, my grandparents were very hands-on to like I went to school right next door, and I kind of relate to the surprise party book because I was not a popular kid in like grade 1, 2, 3. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that my grandparents lived right next door to the school. So, like, as soon as somebody would be mean to me, I would just run over there. And my grandparents were very, it mattered to them that I stayed true and honest to who I was. And I remember one day I used to like to dress like my grandma, and she dressed me and I dressed like her. And I had like a mini skirt. And I went to school, and one of the kids said, "You look like a slut. What do you know about sluts in third grade?" But I ran to her house and I was crying. And I'm like, I want to change. I want to change. And if it would have been just for my grandpa, he would have been like, change and go. But she was like, no, you're going to go back because people who do this are jealous. And I don't know if they were jealous, but it certainly taught me how to not change to fit in. Like, if you people are not going to like
Yeah.
me, if I change, if I don't like me, how can anybody else like me? You know, like if you hate yourself, how can somebody else like you. And then I know the feeling. I'm sure you know, and Brian, both of you probably know the feeling of not being invited to a party. And yeah, it
For sure.
sucks.
Or invited in some kind of instance or being part or something, or people go for lunch and you're not invited to it or something. It's just the whole exclusion thing. So I think that's why we wanted to make sure that we know that a lot of kids deal with that emotion or dealing with that. So that's why we kind of wanted to make sure that was a theme in our second book.
Sometimes you're excluded from the party in you know, whatever, just
Yeah.
in context, because there's something better for you. And I think that that's kind of the story of the second book, because you're not invited to this big party, whatever, but you have this group of friends who care about you so much that they're willing to go out of their way to make sure that you know
And
you're
make,
special.
yes, exactly, right? And that kind of moment would have never happened in the book if he wasn't invited. You know, they would have still been
Right.
friends, you know, whatever would have happened that day, but they got to experience something really special together, you know, and coming together and celebrating, you know, their friend and having that memory. And that came about because he was excluded. So, you know, you might not be included everything, you might be excluded with some things, but sometimes that just means that something better might come along, or those are, weren't meant to be your friends anyways. Like, say, you know, in the second book, it's Ernie the elephant, and she, you know, we don't have, know much too much about Ernie yet, or the kids don't from the book, but you know, Milo doesn't have to worry too much about what Ernie thinks of him because he has such great friends, you know, that
Yeah,
make him
and in
feel
the first
special.
book, you have Scooter, who's like super insecure and scared and nervous, and all his friends are like, "No, you can do this." And it's important to find people in life,
Yeah,
whether
exactly.
you're 6 or 26, who will include you in things. And I think that those messages are
Yeah, and
universally
support you and be
important,
there for you. Yeah. Yeah, and
especially
it's
when
not just
you.
to teach kids about, okay, you,
Sorry?
yeah, and what I'm saying is like with kids, you know, it's not just for the kid that is not included or feels excluded. It's a book to teach how to be a good friend too, because you know maybe you're that kid that's reading the book. Maybe they're never not invited. Maybe they're the outgoing kid in class that gets invited to everything. But at least with them reading the book, they can see how to be a good friend. And if they notice that other kids are dealing with something, or they notice a friend or another kid in their class that feels excluded or feels sad in a way, they may learn from the book and hopefully learn from the book how to be a good friend and kind of, you know, make that person feel special. Even if they're the ones that are invited or they're the ones that, you know, aren't the sad one, they at least know how to make others feel special or want to step up and do something. And Brian mentioned our journals too. And that's why we have the, you know, what are three kind things you did that day? We wanted to promote, you know, everything that we do. We want to promote kindness. We want to promote friendship. We want to promote being, you know, a good human and as well teaching you of how to deal with emotions.
So, what are three kind
Yeah, I
things that
think.
each of you did today?
Wow. Say what? What are three
It's
kind things that each of us did today?
yeah.
So one, you know, we had no water for coffee at our school, and I went back to my house to get water from my house to make coffee for my coworkers. That was one kind thing.
I,
So you did
to be
one?
honest, I didn't get mad at the people at Rogers who where I sat for 2 hours trying to get my new phone.
Oh no.
Right?
No, I had quite the day.
Oh, did you? You yell at anybody?
No, I didn't yell at anyone, so I was
We
nice to
definitely
them.
need, one of our books has to be about anger because, you know, every kid gets
Yes.
angry. Every kid starts yelling, you know, has a moment where they're
Yes.
yelling or screaming or frustrated or dealing with frustration. So we definitely need to kind of do something about that topic to, you know, to help kids how to like, you know, calm down a bit and how to look at the situation, how to handle it the best way instead of screaming and yelling, you know.
Yeah, I agree. There are
How
a
do
lot
you?
of kids who, and not even necessarily, not solely anger, but just negative, negative thoughts, negative feelings, you know, where
Yeah,
you'd be like
frustration.
frustration, where sometimes frustration because they don't know how to express themselves, but sometimes negativity. For example, my oldest son is going through this right now where we'll be like, hey, we're going to go to this restaurant. I don't like that restaurant. Well, what do you mean you don't like the restaurant? We just went, you know, three times in the past 3 months and you were fine with it. So even as a parent, we're, you know, we're these books would help us learn techniques to kind of handle those certain situations. So I don't know where I was going with that, but I
Go
think,
ahead. I mean, I think
you
you're
know,
going to about where kids get too frustrated and act up. Like that's, I
act
think
out,
that's.
yeah. Absolutely. I think that there are just so many topics that we could, that we could write about to help kids. There are so many emotions that kids go through on a day-to-day basis that even as parents, you don't see them all
Right.
or hear about them all because they bottle them up as well and they don't express themselves. So, I really think it's kind of cool that Dave and I, as two adult males, are the ones that created these products and these learning tools, because as we mentioned earlier, it used to be that males wouldn't be able to express themselves, and now it's two males that are kind of writing about these emotions and providing these learning resources to parents, educators, and children. So I think that's one of the cool things about our journey.
Yeah.
Both of my friends who died by suicide were men. So one of them was 22. I have no idea what was going on with him. And the other one was older than me, but he had everything. Like he was good looking, he had money, he was successful, and he still wasn't happy. So it's like there's a lot of stuff going on up here that people don't know you're going through. And
For
the weird
sure.
thing is, you can present as being completely happy. Like I did it for so long. And it took when I met Bryan Cranston, he looked at me and he said, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "What's wrong with, what do you mean?" Like, and he was like, "I can tell that you're struggling with something." And I'm like, "No, I'm not. Like, I'm fine." And he was like, "I'm too old for this. Like, I know, I've been there." And I was like in like the I had gained like some like 60 pounds because my friend killed himself. And I was like, "What? Like, you don't know how to like accept that someone is gone." And so I would just like, I didn't shower for 7 weeks. Like, and then my mom was like, "This is quite enough." But like,
Yeah.
depression is another thing that maybe, you know, not necessarily in those terms, but something that you could address in the books. And what about something like children who are dealing with like divorce?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that, it might not even just be Jungle Buddies, but some, because we're so focused on creating books that focus around emotions, it's definitely, in the future, kind of, these ideas, right, of how to deal with grief or extreme sadness or anger or frustration. So, Brian and I are just really excited about the future of, what could happen with the, what we create and the resources that we can create. So we're excited for the future with that.
And you plan on writing more books as Jungle Buddies, and it kind of sounds like you might want to like segue into something else.
Yeah, so you never know. Brian and I have been in talks, but we don't know what that may be yet. But just seeing the success from the first book and now us launching the second book, we have some ideas stirring in our heads. And ideas pop up every day, just like through this podcast and talking to you, it's coming up with new ideas or potential themes and things that may be important. And a lot of people that are buying the book or getting their hands on the book, a lot of them reach out and they give input in terms of like what might be good for a future book or things that their kids go through or their students if a teacher buys a book. So we love hearing feedback from everybody. So if anybody ever gets their hands on the book to give us feedback or to give us ideas that they think that would be a great book to do, it's more than welcome.
Well, there's definitely some people going to get their hands on the book because I want to do a giveaway with this because I want, I mean, most of my followers are younger and they're not parents, but some of them are. So I do want to give some books away so that people will, you know, have access to it that maybe they didn't know about it
Oh, that's
before.
awesome.
I just
Yeah, they
think
might have
it's,
nieces and nephews and all that kind of stuff
yeah.
too, or you
Well,
never
even some of them
know.
do have kids. I know a girl I went to high school
Sure.
with. I don't know how she did it, but she has six kids. I mean, I know
Yeah.
how she did it,
Right.
but no, I really, really think what you're doing is like potentially life-changing, really, because you never know what someone's going through.
For
And I
sure.
think that there's so many more topics for you guys to tackle, but I think even expanding the age demographic, like in the future, there are going to be kids in like 20 years who are going to remember reading this book, and it's going to have changed their life in some way. For me, there are a lot of films that have done that, that there are actors who it have saved my life. Like, and I mean that sincerely, which, and it sounds kind of insane that you would be like, you could have your life saved by somebody who doesn't know that you exist, but you can.
I think
And I you're doing that with the book.
thank you. Yes. I think that there's like all kinds of different ways that that can be done, like you said, with film and us with literature and even with music. Music is a big kind of thing in people's lives as well. You know, you hear a certain song and it kind of creates certain emotions, and every time you hear it, you know, there's songs that people listen to and they cry, or there's songs that people listen to and it puts them in a good mood and they're happy. So, you know, with literature, it's kind of like you said, it's kids can read these books and it is a safe space for them to read and, you know, immerse themselves in the story and feel certain ways that their favorite character in the book feels as well. So, you know, if they see a character act a certain way and they like the character or can relate to the character, it almost feels like they, you know, are closer to the character and will act similar to the way the character does, if that makes sense. So it's I don't know. I think it's reading with your kids each night is one of the most important things you can do, not
100%.
only to teach them. We would sit and read every night, and you know, we talk about our day. So circling back to the journal, you know, one of the things I would talk about with my boys before was what are three things that you remember from today, or three things that you liked most about your day? And that's one of the questions that we included in the journal. And so it was, you know, it as a parent talking with my kids about these stuff, these things, it's pretty special for me as well. So I know, Dave, you probably talk to like your students about certain things, and you're able to relate as well. So it's,
For sure.
Do you ever have a kid in your class that you just know is going through something and they won't tell you what it is and you just like, you can't
A hundred
get to them?
percent. Yeah, 100%. You can tell just by their emotions or kind of how they're acting for that day or that week, and you know, they're going through something. So I try to, you know, my students are a bit older than what we gear our books to. But they're kind of at a lower level. And up here in the north, like we're in an isolated community. I live on an island with 300 people. You can't even drive out of here. It's only
Oh, wow.
fly-in. So a lot of kids, you know, and it because I feel like social media, especially with this young age, they're seeing everything. They're getting access to everything out there. So it's really affecting their mental health, to be honest with you. Like, you know, when they're in, you know, in grade four and they can go on TikTok and get on YouTube and go on all these things that I could never do when I was a kid, they just have access to so much more. And sometimes they realize what they're missing, or they get jealous, or they envy people and they want to be like, you know, they're jealous of other people's lives and they get depressed about their own, or, you know, they're dealing with something at home. Like you said, when their kids are going through something, we have a high suicide rate up here where I live. Mental health's a big thing. So that's why I think that was one of the important reasons why I got into this with Brian, just because I see so much, you know, struggle with mental health and how to deal with emotions. Because a lot of people up here just shut down. That's what happens. You know, people shut down. And you know, sometimes you see kids not even showing up to school anymore because of their emotions. So, you know, I feel like what Brian and I are doing, we feel is important, and we're trying to get it out there to as many people as possible.
Well, it's definitely making a difference. Like, even though right now it's kind of on the smaller scale, I think it has potential to go, you know, big scale. I wouldn't have you here because I wouldn't want to talk to people. No. No, I just really do think that it's like I have certain contacts that I'm trying to get the book to. Like, I want Brian to send the book to Jen Garner because I think she'd be the one to be like, oh, I think this
Especially
is
the
a good
second one, the
idea.
surprise party.
The surprise
Get that to Jen
party,
Turner.
yes. And I want to
Yes.
gift the books to my friend Tom, Baron Corbin, used to be a WWE superstar, got fired. I want to gift the books to his daughters because I think that they
That's
would
awesome.
could learn from it, even though they're like,
Yeah.
I don't, 3 and 5. And that's the
Yeah,
age
that's
range,
perfect
right?
ages.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect
that's
age.
perfect ages. And like you said, in the future, we might do the other age groups, and you know, and kind of
This
expand in
is for
that
the
way.
long
But
haul. You guys are in this for the long haul.
that's the hope, you know. That's why our brand is called The Buddies, but our first book series is The Jungle Buddies. So there were plans to maybe do different kinds of buddies, you know, northern buddies, or you know, aquatic buddies, could be anything. And then, you know, we've also talked about doing a book series for younger kids. So right now our books are probably, you know, ages 3 or 4
Oh,
to
my God.
7 or 8. We would maybe do, younger kids who are dealing with nightmares or first time going to school, or, I don't want to brush my teeth. I don't know how to use the potty. Anything for younger kids that, older kids don't need to go through. But again, these are things that kids need to be taught by their parents, and sometimes parents have issues knowing how to teach their child certain topics or talking to them about, like I said, nightmares. What, how do you tell your child it's going to be okay
You show them
when
Monsters,
you,
Inc.
yeah, you could do that. That's right. But then is that not showing that there are actually monsters? So
Well,
it's, I
I
mean,
don't know. I just like that movie, okay?
it's a great movie,
Similar.
I think I'm
but
the only
it's,
person. I'm at the film festival with Brian, and I'm like, do you know where the CBC building is? Because I live here, but I don't know where it is. Because I want to go see Pete Doctor. And he's like, yeah, it's over there. And Pete was like, well, I don't think I've ever seen anyone so nice. He was doing like a meet and greet at the door. And he was so calm and so nice until somebody
wait,
asked him
who's
to sign
this?
two things. Pete
Pete
Doctor, he's like
Doctor.
the creator of Pixar. Like he did Toy
Oh,
Story,
he was at
Monsters, Inc.
CBC?
Yeah, he was at CBC
The CBC
for
building.
TIFF.
Oh.
And
Have you
people
guys ever been
were,
in that building?
I've been in many times for like
Oh.
tapings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've only been in there because I was auditioned for Dragon's Den, but that was like in 2014, like 10
How did
years
you like
ago.
auditioning? Just the process.
It was
Curious.
nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking. My anxiety and my social anxiety, like I was like sweating. Like I'm a sweater, and I was like sweating through my suit, So,
I'm guessing
anyways.
it didn't work out.
And I've auditioned live in person for Big Brother,
Oh my
the first
God.
season.
Would you do it
Yeah,
again?
and I mean, well, they canceled it in Canada, so I mean, that's how
Big
Brian
Brother
and I met.
Canada
Brian and I
got
met.
canceled.
Yeah, the Big Brother in Canada. But Brian and I met from playing online games of Big Brother. That's how we met.
I'm sorry, what is that? Online games?
Yeah.
Is it like
Brian and I
role
met through
play?
online reality games. So basically, it's like, do you watch reality shows at all or no?
A little bit, but I'm gonna be honest, like as an actor, I find that like reality competition not so it doesn't bother me so much, but like a TV show like The Kardashians is like you're taking
Yeah.
jobs away from people who actually are talented, and I think that's gross.
And
But
our actors, yeah. No, for the
yeah,
competition thing, it's basically like Survivor, Big Brother, but on an online format for about 30 plus days. And you can win cash at the end, and you start with like 16 people or
wow.
20 people, and you kick each other out and have alliances and have competitions. And
That's such a
Brian
cool
and
way to
I made it.
meet.
Yeah, and
That's
Brian
such
and I
a
made
cool
it. We had,
story.
yeah, we started with 16 people, and Brian and I made it to final three together. So
Who won?
yeah, that's how we met. 2021.
Neither of us won.
Yeah, but neither of us won. I would have won if Brian voted for me to win, but I lost because Brian didn't vote for me to win.
Well, that's
I
not
did
a
not
very
vote for
nice
Dave
thing
to
to
win.
do. But you know what? You guys
No,
did
we
win
don't.
because now you're like, you have an Amazon bestseller.
Exactly.
It's true,
Exactly.
yes.
And
Amazon
I keep
bestseller
saying
were.
New York Times bestseller, but Brian's like, that's
No.
really hard. No, not
It's
yet,
hard.
but it could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Right now our first book was an Amazon bestseller, like you said. Right now we're nominated for, well, we're finalists for Canadian Choice Award.
So, like, trying one day getting a celebrity to have our book in their hands in some way. So
Well, I gave
one day
Brian the
we'll.
address for Jennifer. He just doesn't send
Yeah,
it.
he mentioned that. That's awesome that you did that for him. So I think Brian's gonna send her something.
You know why I haven't sent to her yet? Because we wanted to send her a jungle bundle, which
Oh, okay.
is our
Sold
book.
out.
It's our book, our sloth, and our journal in a nice box set. I have one here. These ones are sold. I'll show you what they look like here.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah. So it comes with, well, I guess people listening can't see it, but it's a nice box set.
Well,
It
they
comes with
can
a
see it
stuffed
because I
animal.
can get a little video of it and show them.
Oh, okay. So we
There's
have our
one there.
jungle bundles. They come with a stuffed Scooter, who's the main character of our first book.
It's so
He's
cute.
our 14 inch comfort sloth stuffed animal. It comes with a copy of our jungle journal, so kids can write about their emotions. And it comes with a copy of Jungle Buddy's Erase to Remember, our first book. So it comes in this nice box. It's great as a gift. So we wanted to send one of these to her, but Like Dave said, unfortunately, we're sold out, so we're waiting on more stuffed animals.
For sure. For sure.
But maybe you should start writing books for like high school aged kids.
Yeah, and I know that's gonna be a lot tougher for us, in terms of like that's like a different level of writing. But definitely we've talked about doing different age groups or how to hit different kind of,
Which one of you does
youth.
the most writing? Or is it pretty
We
even?
do it together. We do it together. And then we take the story, and then we, approach the Brian did a great job as, kind of doing a storyboard and presenting it to the illustrator and going back and forth with the illustrator of how exactly we want the images. The illustration part's the biggest part of the process because Brian and I will come up with a story and kind of fine tune the story, but then going back and forth with the illustrator because all the images, are hand drawn, right? And then he has a certain programs that he utilizes, but it takes a while for the illustrations.
Would you ever turn them into like small cartoon videos?
We thought about it doing something like on YouTube or doing some kind of video stuff. I mean, I don't Brian and I don't have that expertise in creating like online videos with cartoons, but it's definitely something we're looking at in the future, I think.
Yeah, I think
Yeah, I think
we'd
that's a smart idea.
I don't know if I don't think Chris would be able to help us with that either. He was saying that's not his area of expertise. You'd almost need
No.
somebody who's an animator
For
to be able
sure.
to start even something small on YouTube, and then that's how it would grow.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
Have you
yeah.
tried TikTok? I mean, I hate TikTok personally, but.
We haven't really I mean, we opened up, we have a TikTok account, but we haven't really posted anything on there because, we've tried, it's the first year we're trying to get our hands on the social media and putting on Facebook and Instagram's big.
They
We have a
want any
lot of
money.
experience in this kind of stuff. So I think it's awesome. And I truly appreciate you just, having us on and talking to us about the book and,
Yeah.
we truly appreciate it. I apologize again for you waiting for so long because I was
Why do you? There's
out
nothing
of
to apologize for. You know what? Like things happen, life happens. You know, people are busy,
Sure. I
people
was out of the
working
country for a
stuff.
while, got back and all this stuff. So I'm glad that we finally got to meet and do this and finally meet.
Yeah. And you guys should come back and talk about it again or whatever when you're, you know, making working on the next one or whatever. Talk about the process of writing a book because, you know, there's a lot of people
Sure.
out there who might be thinking that they have a story that they want to write and they just don't know where to start. And you guys were in that position.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we weren't
Even
on this
as
before.
a. Sorry,
We
go
because
ahead.
we Because we put on like when we had the idea to do the book, the original book, we put in the time and effort to kind of learn the process and learn how to write a book and how to get it published and how to do self-publishing. And we did a lot of research before and definitely open to helping others and that sort of thing, or kind of talking about the process of creating it. So
Like
yeah,
I
we just appreciate
screenwrite
you
and
having fun.
it's so hard. I have n no idea what I'm doing ever. And I did
Yeah.
a screenwriting class with Aaron Sorkin, so I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna know everything by the end of this class." Then I'm like, "I'm writing." And then I'm messaging my friend Rob and her husband. They're both screenwriters. They wrote Matilda together.
Wow.
And I'm like, "Nick, is this good?" And he's like, "Yes, it's good." And he goes, "But if you want to be Aaron Sorkin, you got to put your 10,000 pages in. Like, nobody just becomes Aaron Sorkin overnight." I gotta
Yes.
ask before we go, it like which character in the book do you think is most like you? There's a
For
question
me,
for both of you.
it's definitely Scooter because just with the anxiety and the fear of judgment of others and stuff like that that I've had to deal with in my life, like that's like who I relate to the most, and that's why we kind of made our first book about that. Well, I mean, that's not why, but like one of the reasons why, because a lot of people love sloths, and we thought it would be funny to name a sloth who's a very slow moving Scooter, because Scooter is like a fast,
Yeah.
kind of. But yeah, I relate to him most,
Brian?
and I think Brian's Flick.
No. You know what? I think I'd probably relate most to Lincoln.
Yes, I was gonna say Lincoln,
Just
yeah.
being kind of laid back and trying to encourage people.
Yeah.
I would say probably more like Lincoln. But what's funny? So Dave brought up that about Scooter being the main character of our first book. We actually he brought this up earlier too. We wanted to involve the community, and so we actually sent out, I think, 200 people answered a survey on what animals we should use for our books, and the sloth was the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah. Wow.
That's why, Scooter became the main character of our first book. So it was nice to involve kind of all these people in creating this book. It wasn't just us. Sure, we did kind of the legwork, but there was a lot of involvement from family, friends, students. We had full classes of
Teachers,
students
yeah.
answering our questionnaires. Yeah.
Yeah,
It was really
that's
neat.
really,
We're involving
that's
everybody.
beautiful. That's because it's like then they see the book and they feel like they were part of something. And
Exactly. Yeah.
that's important. Where
Yeah.
can people get the book if they don't know where to get it
Sure, people
other
can
than Amazon?
visit our website, www.thebuddies.ca, BUDDYZ.ca. On there, they can find the book. They can get free printables, free word searches, free lesson plans, or they can find our books on Amazon, worldwide.ca.com, Germany, Sweden, Australia, UK,
Yeah.
all over. Amazon or our website is where they can find our books.
Yeah. And we also have our
And
first
your
book in
apparel.
English, and our first book's in English, French, and Spanish. And
Yep.
our second book right
Spanish.
now is in, yeah, we have our first book's in Spanish as well.
Is it
And then we
printed
have,
in Spanish?
yeah, so you can get it on Amazon in Spanish. I just want to say thank you for, like I said, thank you for having us on and being so encouraging about our books and really motivating us, for the future of the buddies, the future of, other books that we're making. It really means a lot to us, like having your
Oh.
encouragement and having us on the podcast. And I just want to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for being here and putting up with my technical difficulties and my rambling, because Brian already knew that this is me, but you did it. And I told him, I was like, did you tell him I talk a lot? No, I didn't tell him that. And I'm like, you should have
Well,
warned a guy. Like,
no, he knows that I'm more like you, that in terms of talking and rambling and stuff like that. I love it. That's kind
I
of
just love
my
people.
kind of nature. Yeah,
I
I'm a
just
people
think it's
person.
really important to love people because there's so much negativity and ugliness in the world already.
For
And
sure.
that's why Brian sees me at TIFF and I'm like, oh no, this person's saying this about me. And he's like, why the fuck do you care? But I do care. I care so much about everything. And
Right.
that's
And it's
another
been so
topic.
awesome. And it's been so awesome just even getting to know more about you, because I didn't know you at all before the podcast. So it's awesome just hearing the
Right.
stories, and I'm just super impressed with everything that you've been doing and everything. So
Oh, thank
keep
you.
at it
I'm
as
not that
well.
impressive.
Anything's possible, and just going for what you love to do is
Yeah,
worth
I
it.
agree.
And like, no matter what anybody says, I know that a lot of things have stopped me in the past about going for things. And whether you fail or you succeed, it's always great to, you need to try. And that was the message in our first book. But because
Yes.
you don't want to end up on your deathbed being like, what if I did this? What if I did that? It's okay to say, oh, I tried that, it failed, but at least I tried it, like knowing that I tried,
But with
So
things
I
like
always.
this, artistic endeavors, whether it's writing a book or auditioning for something, I don't think there's ever a point where you actually fail. You just go from like failure to failure until you succeed. And that's something I learned from Tom Brady, because he was saying, when I lose, that teaches me more than when I've won.
For sure, and it
And
teaches you what you did wrong or what you did right, and apply it to the next thing. For
you can
sure.
definitely tell that you're a teacher, and it's a really good thing that you went into that vocation, because I think that are going to help a lot of kids. And Brian will just
I
be
appreciate
crunching numbers. Is that what you
that.
do?
Yes.
He's a number cruncher. Yeah, I'm more like la-di-da. Brian's like the numbers guy for sure. I mean, I majored in math in school and
I'm
stuff, but
so bad at math.
Brian's definitely the number cruncher.
I like appreciate you guys being here. I'm going to keep promoting the book. Brian, you know I love you. Dave, it was really, really great to meet you. You're such a
Great
sweetheart.
meeting you. Yeah, and
Keep in
keep on
touch. Let's
spreading.
keep promoting this
Yes.
book.
For sure. And keep on
And
spreading your positivity and positive vibes out
yes.
there, because your personality is amazing, and just
Oh, thank you.
you exude positivity and kindness, and keep on being you.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun. Unfortunately, I can't go without thanking the show's sponsor, starting with Michael Silberg Family Wines. You can find them on Instagram, as well as Huck's Wear the Moisture Wicking, Camel Toe Eliminating Underwear Made for Women by Women, as well as Snack Conscious. And let's not forget the buddies. They don't pay us to support them. We just believe in them, so make sure you check out their website, www.thebuddies.ca, and grab a copy of A Race to Remember and their brand new book, The Surprise Party, also available on Amazon. I've enlisted a friend in case you don't want to take advice from a killer doll. Here's Jennifer Lawrence.
Hey, Chucky, thanks. This is Jennifer Lawrence, and I also want to encourage you to pick up a book.
Nothing scary about her, so take her advice. Before I go, I just want to remind you to follow the podcast on social media at A Blonde Who Talks on Twitter, This Blonde Can Talk on Instagram, and This Blonde Can Talk on Blue Sky Social. Don't forget to let Melly know what topic she should discuss and who you'd like to hear from on a future episode. Thanks for having me, guys. I won't be back next week.